Good afternoon. You're listening to KTOO in Juneau. I'm Yvonne Crumry. Thank you for tuning in. Sport fishermen in Juneau may be disappointed come Monday because king salmon will largely be off limits this summer. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game has announced an emergency closure for most nearshore fishing areas around Juneau. DIPAC's executive director, Katie Harms, said hatchery returns are expected to be quite low this year. That's because most of the Chinook that were supposed to come back were killed when a landslide severed the hatchery supply of freshwater from Salmon Creek back in December 2020.
So we had to prematurely release all those Chinook salmon that were in raceways at the time. They entered saltwater before they were biologically able to process saltwater and likely mostly died.
Most of the hatchery salmon come back when they're about 5 years old, so Harms said the summer's low run was anticipated. The closures include Auk Bay, Fritz Cove, Gastineau Channel, and areas around the McCauley Salmon Hatchery. Starting Monday at midnight, any king salmon caught in those areas must be released immediately. The policy will extend through the end of August. Closing the sport fishery will allow more mature Chinook to gather in Fish Creek Pond, which is one of the local release sites. The pond will be missing most of those five-year-olds, but there should be some six-year-olds returning.
And what we plan to do this year is use seine nets to seine up the pond in mid to late July when there's the vast majority of the fish have made it back, and we bring them back to the hatchery.
The hatchery aims to use fish from the pond to replenish the hatchery's brood stock, which will help them sustain summer king production in the future.
I'm not sure we'll get our full broodstock even with this closure in effect, but it'll put us a lot closer to our goal, which would in turn make better fishing opportunity for those that want to fish in 5 years' time.
King fishing in Lena Cove remains open. All anglers there have a bag limit of four kings of any size. And researchers warned locals last week that they found a dangerous level of toxins in shellfish samples collected from Settlers Cove at the north end of the Ketchikan Burrow. The advisory from Southeast Alaska Tribal Ocean Research is not an uncommon one. Spikes in dangerous paralytic shellfish toxins are reported in the clams and mussels and oysters around Ketchikan and southern Prince of Wales Island somewhat frequently, but they can be deadly. And as KRBD reports, the species of concern in this case can be particularly helpful to scientists because, as one biologist puts it, they pop hot.
They say you are what you eat. Shellfish are filter feeders. So to varying degrees, they pick up what's in the water around them. When there's a harmful algae bloom, they ingest toxins that get passed along to whatever might try to eat them. It's called paralytic shellfish poisoning, and it can be deadly to birds and mammals, including humans. Barbara Morgan, a professor at the University of Alaska Southeast who studies shellfish, says the bottom line is that during the summer, it's best to leave local shellfish alone.
And so the key thing right now is it is not safe to be digging your own clams and eating them.
Morgan says the conventional wisdom goes that it's only safe to eat shellfish from Alaska's waters in months that end with an R. In other words, not during the warmer months. She says it's always kind of a gamble to eat untested local shellfish, but the stakes are even higher when there's an algae bloom like the one happening in Settlers Cove.
You don't necessarily have them. I mean, you don't have them widespread throughout all of Southeast Alaska. They're even patchy kind of on a real local level.
Morgan says algae blooms that spread paralytic shellfish toxins are much more common in the summer months because of warming water temperatures. Warmer waters can cause upwelling of nutrients, which dangerous algae like Alexandrium love. And when there's enough Alexandrium to cause a bloom, they release neurotoxins into the water.
Those toxins are sequestered in the muscle tissue, the flesh of different shellfish, clams, mussels, oysters, etc. And then when people eat them, we are getting all the toxins from thousands, billions of cells of the Alexandrium.
And different types of shellfish hold on to those toxins for different amounts of time. Take butter clams, for example. If they feed on toxic plankton, they can hang on to those nasty toxins through the winter or even up to 2 years. Like butter clams, blue mussels are also known to reach very high concentrations of paralytic shellfish toxins. But unlike butter clams, blue mussels pop hot. Morgan says that means those potentially fatal doses have a shorter shelf life.
They get hot really quickly. They get toxic much more quickly for some reason. And then they also then get rid of the toxins much more quickly.
But that doesn't mean you should plan to dine on Settlers Cove mussels anytime soon. The toxic shellfish may smell and taste normal, but Southeast Alaska Tribal Ocean Research says soon after consumption, symptoms of poisoning like tingling of the lips and tongue can begin, progressing to a tingling in the fingers and toes and loss of muscle control. paralytic shellfish poisoning can kill you in as little as 2 hours from breathing muscle paralysis, and there's no known cure. You should call 911 and seek medical attention immediately if you notice symptoms, though. Stabilization at a hospital can let the toxins run their course for a better outcome. But Morgan says the interesting thing about blue mussels is that they can tell us much more quickly if there's a toxic bloom in the area.
Blue mussels are a good indicator of a current, they're kind of like a real-time indicator of an algae bloom that is toxic.
And that can prove to be even more useful in a warming climate.
So if our waters continue to warm a little bit, and if we continue to get sunnier weather, we have periods of time when we have more blooms happening.
Algaes like Alexandrium are plant-like. More sun and warmer water helps them photosynthesize and grow into blooms. Morgan says as climate change continues to warm Alaska's waters, we could see more algae blooms in wider areas of the state. And it could be important to have real-time barometers of water toxicity, like the blue mussel. In Ketchikan, I'm Jack Darrell.
If you or someone you know is experiencing symptoms of paralytic shellfish poisoning, you should immediately go to the nearest hospital or call 911. To report PSP cases, contact the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services, Section of Epidemiology, at 907-269-8000. And Southeast Alaska is mostly a rainforest. But even in the rainforest, residents expect the month of May to be a turning point from the cold and wet weather they had through the winter. But as Coast Alaska's Angela Denning reports, this May didn't quite deliver that spring feeling.
Southeast residents like Marissa Collison felt a little robbed this spring.
Yeah, May was cold.
She's a lifelong Petersburg resident and an outdoor enthusiast who ventures out every day. I met up with her on a recent walk.
It wasn't just that it was raining, but it was like, you know, sometimes sideways.
When May arrives, most Southeast residents expect mild weather.
And I kept looking on my Facebook feed and, you know, it brings up the memories. And it'll be like, 4 years ago, you were paddling. 4 years ago, you did this hike. Nothing happened in May because it was so cold and rainy. It was so gross.
It wasn't just Collison's imagination. It was a colder and wetter May for nearly all of Southeast, from Yakutat down to Ketchikan. That includes places that typically see warmer temperatures, like Skagway, which averaged about 2 degrees below normal. Little Port Walter on southern Baranof Island was 2.5 degrees below normal for the month. Petersburg, in the central part of the region, was about 1 degree colder. And that's enough for meteorologists like Rick Fitch in Juneau to take note.
It doesn't sound like a whole lot, but from a climate standpoint, a full degree below normal is pretty meaningful.
Fitch didn't just document the cold through his data research and weather graphs. It's personal, too.
My big complaint this month of May was my potatoes have taken forever to germinate.
The month of May is known as a transition month in the meteorology world, helping mark the change in Alaska's two main seasons. In a normal year, May usually finds Southeast on the warmer south side of the jet stream, which is the river of air in the atmosphere. But this year was different.
In this particular month of May, we spent a prevailing amount of time on the north side of the jet stream, which would explain why, generally speaking, the entire panhandle plus the Northeast Gulf Coast was below normal in temperatures.
There's no definitive answer as to why. While La Nina is expected to have an influence later in the year, bringing cooler weather, Fitch says May's cold was mainly just bad luck. It was also extra rainy in May and Southeast. Juneau, in particular, almost doubled its precipitation with 7 inches of rain. Petersburg was the region's anomaly. The town actually got less precipitation than normal in May. But that could have fooled residents. It was still very cloudy, and it rained all but 3 days. It just wasn't heavy.
You can have a little bit of drizzle every day of the month, and it's going to feel like, oh, wow, what a soaker month that was. Cloudy and drizzle, not really very conducive to saying, oh, that's a wonderful spring weather we just had.
But as Collison says, you make do with what you have when you live in a rainforest and get outdoors no matter what.
You just feel better afterwards. You just have to suck it up and do it. And then the days that it brightens and there's a little less cloud cover and the sky's a little bit brighter, like, okay, today's a good day. It's not pouring.
And of course, weather is fickle. Come June 8th, Some Southeast communities saw record-breaking hot temperatures. Many in the northern part of the region hit 80 degrees. Reporting for Coast Alaska in Petersburg, I'm Angela Denning.
This is KTOO.